I just want to say thank you, guys. Thanks, Awaken Me. That was a cool little worship set, huh? What'd y'all think? Amen. Yeah, I feel like I want to go over and play the drums, Matt. That's just like, yes, that was awesome. I want to start off with just a question, and you can kind of think through it in your own mind, like what, how would I answer this question? But I want to think, what is the end goal of Christianity? Like, what do you think is the point of you becoming a Christian for the end? Like, after you pass this life? Like, what's the goal? Does anybody want to take a guess? Like, where are we trying to get to?
Heaven.
Heaven, right? How many of you would say the goal of Christianity in some way is to go to heaven when I die? Anybody? Think that you're like, this is a trick. This is a trick. I don't know what to say. I'm not going to fall for it, so I'm just going to do this. So those things where, like, if you think no, raise your hand. If you think yes, raise your hand. I'm not going to do that. So I just started out with that question. It kind of gets to thinking, like, okay, what is the goal of Christianity? Like, what are we wanting to happen when we die? Like, what's different than us as opposed to non-believers? Why would somebody make the appeal, hey, you need to be a Christian. You need to believe in Jesus. And I think for a lot of us, we would answer to go to heaven when we die, okay? And just so we're kind of all tracking, I'm going to challenge that a little bit. And you're like, what? Like, we're not going to heaven when we die? What I want to say is there's actually a greater goal than just going to heaven when you die. And we're going to get into that tonight. But I want us to think about this concept of, okay, here's my goal. When I die, I want to go to heaven. When I die, I want to go to heaven. I think even as just a culture, even non-Christians, Christians, you have a news poll, you poll somebody, ask them a question, hey, where do you want to go when you die? What's most of you going to say? Heaven. I want to go to heaven. I've heard about the other place. I want to go there instead of there, right? I want to go to heaven. And then we start talking, okay, what exactly does it mean to go to heaven when you die? What does that mean exactly? What is heaven? Where is it? What does that look like? What are you doing in heaven? And have you ever kind of thought about, okay, what our culture kind of believes about heaven and probably what you think heaven is like? Just picture in your mind heaven right now. Picture in your mind heaven. Picture what it's going to be like in the end. How many of you have clouds somewhere? Right? All of us. Like, yeah, there's clouds. And what are you doing on the clouds? Floating on them, right? What are you playing? A harp. Yes! So awesome. Such a cool way to spend the eternity, right? Like, sitting on a harp, sitting on a... if you sit on your harp, you can't play it very well. You're sitting on your cloud, right? And you're playing your harp. That's kind of all in our minds some way. Okay, I don't know exactly what heaven is, but I know it has something to do with a cloud, something to do with a harp, and I'm playing it throughout all of eternity, which sounds really not that great. I mean, how many of you think that's kind of like, I don't know if I'm going to do that forever? Does anybody not want to play a harp on a cloud forever? But it's like, well, I guess that's better than hell, right? So I'm going to go with a harp on the cloud. It's better than hell. I'd rather go there. We're just going to kind of tough it out. And if you notice, like, in the scene of heaven, like, you've got a commercial where some guy goes to heaven. He, like, wants a Kit Kat or something. I don't know. But you've got, like, a commercial where some guy's in heaven, and he's on the cloud. He's playing the harp. And there's always people around, but you can't really, there's not really a lot of going on with them. There's not a lot of interaction. You're kind of by yourself. And it's kind of this idea of serenity, right? Like, you're at peace. Everything's mellow. You're playing your harp. It's beautiful. And the presence of God is kind of, in a way, like this voice or this light that kind of will say something like, good job on the harp. And it's like, thank you, God. It's like, that's kind of what we think about heaven. So as we think about Christianity, okay, our goal is, man, we really want to get to heaven when we die. And is that really what it's like? Is heaven, man, I'm going to be on this cloud. I'm going to be on this, playing this harp forever. God's going to kind of be this voice somewhere, and I'm not really going to be connected to anyone. And I think probably because we think this is really the end, this is what eternity is going to be like. It's one of the reasons that as teenagers, we really try to just live it up. Man, my whole life, I'm just going to live just to the fullest because that's what's coming. I mean, that's my eternal life, is heaven on a cloud, playing a harp. man, I know it's going to be better than hell, but it doesn't sound like it's that great. I think so what I want to do is to challenge, and what I want to tell you is the goal of Christianity is not to go to heaven when you die. That's not the goal. If you die right now, you will go to a place called paradise where you'll be with God. But there is a greater goal to Christianity. There is something even greater that's coming past death, and it's called the resurrection. And the resurrection is what is going to change everything, where we're not going to spend eternity playing harps on clouds. Because what we see in Revelation chapter 21 and 22, we see this huge difference of our normal concept of what's going to happen in the end. See, our thought is, when we die, our final existence is going to be us going to heaven and being with God. But what we see is, in the resurrection, heaven comes down to us. Heaven gets married with the earth, where God's dwelling place will be with us here on the earth. But guess what? It will be a renewed earth. It will be a resurrected earth where all things will be set right. And we will not be some like disfigured spirit that's floating around. We will have resurrected bodies, physical bodies like we had in the very beginning that are not susceptible to sin. They are immortal bodies. They last forever. They don't decay. They don't get diseased. Everything is good. And guess what? We do things. We rule under God over creation, just like we did in the beginning. It's this life to the fullest. It's this life how it was supposed to be. So if you think about your very best day you've ever had on planet Earth, doing your most favorite thing you've ever done on planet Earth, it's going to be 50 billion times that forever. That's what the resurrection is going to do. So I want us to think, get this out of our head. Okay, the whole goal is us just leaving this place and going to a place of clouds and harps. No, the end goal is that place is coming here. The dwelling of God is going to be with man. And this place is going to be remade. And we are going to be remade. And we're going to reign with him forever in an existence we can't even imagine. But in an existence that's somewhere in our memory. Because it was the existence we had in the very beginning, in a place called Eden. So we see that New Jerusalem in heaven, it's much like Eden. It's much like it was supposed to be. And from Eden to New Jerusalem, it's God working all things out so that he gets us back to that place where we were supposed to be. So I want us to have this bigger vision for when we die, there's actually another step. Death is going to be conquered. Death is going to be no more. And just like Jesus who rose from the dead, we are going to rise from the dead to have a completely new life with him forever. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So before we read our text, if you want to go there, it's Revelation chapter 22. I want us to just look at Eden to New Jerusalem. We're doing this series. How's it all going to end? How did it all begin? And what happened in between? Well, here's some of the things we've chased down. First of all, God's presence. Perfect in the beginning, perfect in the end. God is chasing it down in between. We had God's rule. God ruled completely. God will rule completely. But right now, he is getting that rule back in his kingdom, in his church. And then we saw that God destroys evil. Evil came because we let Satan in. But what does God do? He defeats evil through the gospel. He crushes the serpent's head. So in the end, evil is done away with. There's no more evil. And then last week, we saw one of the most beautiful things we could ever imagine, that sin that had no part of the beginning, that came through our rebellion, God conquers sin through the slaughter of his son. Through the death of Jesus, God ends sin. So that in the new heavens, there is no more sin. But what happens a lot of times is, that's where the gospel ends for us. We kind of end there. Well, that's the gospel. Jesus died for my sins. But you know what? That's really only half the gospel. Jesus died for your sins doesn't fix anything. Because if a guy died, that means nothing. But the other half of the gospel is, what did Jesus do? He rose from the dead. And because he rose from the dead, that's the other half of the gospel. That makes all the difference. And what I want us to see tonight is the resurrection of Jesus changes everything about how we're going to spend eternity with him. So you have it, Revelation chapter 22. Go ahead and stand out of reverence for the word of God. We're going to read the first five verses. And I want you to notice a tree. What are you noticing? A tree. All right. So when I get there, your eyes should go, oh, tree. I knew it was there. Here's what it says in verse 1. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life. Man, that sounds familiar. Bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no lamp or light or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Let's pray. Father, I pray that tonight you help us see this bigger vision of what eternity is going to be like. That it's not going to be what some of us imagine. It's going to be so much grander that we, just like Jesus, are going to be raised from the dead. But not only that, this earth is going to be refashioned so that we can dwell with you just like we were supposed to from the very beginning. We pray this in the good name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so I told you to look for what? A tree. Anybody see it? What was it called? The tree of life. Tree of life. Does anybody know where there's another place where that comes into play? Eden, right? So Eden to New Jerusalem. You're seeing they're starting to connect. Is everybody starting to see, wow, these really connect well? Eden, Jerusalem, God's doing something here. These are bookends. Here's the beginning. We failed. Here's God rearranging it where we win. So I want us to look first at the tree in Jerusalem. What's going on with this tree? Well, it says there's this river flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb. That's a pretty cool river. And then it says this tree is on both sides of the river. And I've tried to like think through that. I don't know how that works. So it's just like this huge tree. I guess the river's flowing through it and it's covering both sides. I'm picturing like you go to, you know, Disney World, like Animal Kingdom, that huge tree, like way bigger than that and way better than that. And you have this tree of life and it's got these leaves on it. It's got this fruit that every month it's producing this fruit. And notice, what do the leaves do? What was that? Heal the nations. That's exactly what these leaves are for, the healing of the nations. Now, why do the nations need healing? Because they're broken, right? And they're messed up by sin. But these leaves are now going to heal the nations. And we're going to talk about what exactly that means. And then there's this other phrase after that. It says, and nothing is going to be accursed anymore. In other words, everything that's kind of under a curse now, all that's going to be reversed as we see this tree where we can now find healing as we eat these leaves. So what exactly does all of this mean? We see there's a problem, obviously. We're under some kind of a curse and we need some kind of a healing. So how does all this fit in with where we're going tonight in the resurrection? What we're going to see is it's because of the resurrection that we have the right now to eat of this tree. It's because of the resurrection that is going to heal us. So let's think about the tree where it was in the beginning. Where do we say it was located? Eden, right? Does anybody know what spot of the garden it was at? Middle of the garden. And the tree of life. This isn't a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is a tree of life. Adam and Eve were supposed to eat of this tree. But it's amazing. Once they sinned, do you know what God did in regard to this tree and the garden? He set up these angels, these cherubim with like swords to guard the way to the tree of life. Now, why would he want Adam and Eve to keep away from this tree of life? Well, what God tells us in Genesis 3 is, or 4, is the reason he guards it is because if Adam and Eve were to grab out and eat from this tree of life, what would happen? Somebody tell me. They would live forever. They would live forever. If they eat of this fruit, they'll live forever. So why would God not want them to live forever? Because they're sinful. And I think it was grace. Because could you imagine living forever in sin and misery and the curse of this world? I mean, 100 years is really bad sometimes. But could you imagine for all of eternity living in a state of sinfulness and separation from God? That's hell. So what God wanted to do is to keep them from eating this tree so that they would not live forever. So now Adam and Eve, they've lost immortality. They've lost the ability to live forever. But what was the original purpose? To live forever. The original purpose was to keep eating from this tree and to keep living forever. But now there's been separation. Now this tree has been removed from their life. But now we see the imagery coming full circle in Revelation. What do we now have access back to? The tree of life. I mean, it's this huge thing that's happened. Now, because Jesus has died for us and rose from the dead for us, guess what? We now have the right to eat from the tree again. We now, once again, just like in the beginning, have what? Immortality. We, just like in the beginning, have now eternal life. So let's look a little bit more on what the tree does in New Jerusalem, because it's really good news for us. So we saw that it is healing for the nations, that as we eat of this tree, it is this rejuvenating of life, that as we connected to this tree of life, we live forever. Now, why is that good news? Well, I think because all of us, in some way or another, we want to live forever, right? I mean, how many of you guys want to die? I mean, nobody, right? Nobody wants to die. You want to keep living. And for instance, that's why cosmetics is such a huge thing in our culture. Everyone knows what cosmetics is. It's like Botox, right? Botox, you get injections in your lips so your lips look firm and nice. And a lot of, you know, ladies, when they hit, you know, the 40s, they don't want to look 40. They want to look 30 or 20. So they'll start getting Botox injections in their face. And what it does is it makes the skin not get wrinkles. And we have makeup and all these different cosmetics that we try to hide the fact that we are dying. I mean, it just really is. I mean, you take plastic surgery. Why do people go get plastic surgery? Because we want to hide the fact that this body is dying. This body is not doing so good. Why do you think every like skincare commercial, what does it always advertise? It's age defying, right? That's like the buzzword. Every hand cream is age defying. Like put this on and you will defy your age. What does that mean is you are 40, but you're going to look 20. So why do we always want to look younger? Why do we want to hide the fact that we are getting older? Because we want to live forever. And we want to be young forever. I mean, think about, you know, even like a spa. You've got a picture of a spa. What is usually the picture of a spa? It's usually a woman and she's got cucumbers on her eyes, right? And then cream all around her face. And it's this picture of, this is a great day. It's just like, that's just weird, right? I mean, cucumbers on your eyes and cream all over your face. But what's the point? Why do people do that? To stay young looking, to have your skin look healthy, to have everything look young instead of looking old. So we see that we really long for rejuvenation. We really long for healing. We long to reverse the curse that we are dying. My mom went to a chiropractor a few weeks ago. And if you know my mom, she's just hilarious. So anyway, she went to this chiropractor. And he was giving her kind of the spiel of why you should go to a chiropractor. Like if you get adjustments regularly, if you eat like you're supposed to. And kind of follow his method of what's going to happen. His slogan is, you'll live to be 100. So it's kind of like, man, come to me. I'm going to, you know, by the way, you've been to a chiropractor before? How many of you have been a chiropractor? Raise your hand. Several of you? Okay. How many of you have not been to a chiropractor? Okay. Let me just fill you in what a chiropractor does. They bring you in and they lay you on this table and like everything's good. And they're like, oh, how you doing? And they're like, oh, yeah. And then they go, crack. And you're like, you broke my neck. And it's like, what? And he's like, oh, yeah, hold on. And it's, I mean, it's crazy. And then like start grabbing you like. And then he's like, oh, don't you feel better? No, like I can't walk now. But that's what, so if you haven't been, don't go. It's crazy. But if you've been, you know what I'm talking about. Does anybody have that same experience? Like you just, don't do that again. That scared me. You almost broke my neck. So my mom goes to this chiropractor and here's his philosophy. If you come to me and you eat right, you'll live to be 100. And it's like everywhere. It's like, live to be 100. This is awesome. Live to be 100. And everybody's like, yeah, that's what I want. How many of you guys like to live to be 100? That's pretty cool, right? You live long. That's awesome. Live to be 100. So my mom, she's just funny. She says, do you really want to live to be 100? And the doctor's like, kind of taken back. Like, what do you mean? She says, have you ever saw somebody who lived to be 100? And he was kind of taken back, like, I don't know where you're going with this. Like, this is a good thing, live to be 100. And she said, my mimish lived to be 100. You know what her life like when she was 100? She says, all of her friends were dead. All of them. And you know where she was at? She was in the nursing home. And she couldn't do hardly anything. She couldn't even get out of the bed by herself. Like, she was in a place where she's lonely, has no friends. She can't do the things that she wants to do. So that's what 100 gets you. And you're telling me that's my goal, to live to be 100? She says, I don't want it to be 100. I don't want that. And you see, that's, we're kind of in this place as a society where we want long life. We want to live a long time. But the problem is, the longer we live, the more we go downhill. See, the longer our life gets, the less full our life becomes. It's inevitable. The longer you live, the closer you are to death. You're decaying. It's pulling on you. I mean, I'm turning 30 on Friday, as most of you guys know, because of the big cake and the candles, and that was your hint. My birthday's coming up. And even like 20 to 30, like, I used to go to camp, play bazooka ball, like, all day, and I'd wake up the next morning, like, what's up? Now I play bazooka ball all day, and I'm crying for 3 days in my bed, like, I can't move, help. Like, it's just, that's 30, you know? It's like, everything just, Scott's like, I know, I'm telling you. You know, we'll call each other, like, are you not able to walk either? Because I can't. Yeah, oh. I mean, it's just, it's horrible. So we want long life. We want to live forever, but the problem is the longer we live, the worse off we get. So it's this hard tension. We want to live forever, but forever means low quality of life. But here's the really good news. You know what the resurrection of Jesus gives us? Both. It's amazing. Here's what the resurrection of Jesus gives us. It gives us both. You see, what's going to happen at the resurrection when Jesus comes back? Your body is going to be raised from the dead. And you know what's amazing about that? Is it was sown perishable. It was sown decaying and with the curse of sin all over it. But when it comes out, it's going to be physical, just like your body is now. But it's going to be immortal. How cool is that? Like, your very best day is going to be like that forever. And you know what? Even your best day now, it's not the full potential of what your humanity was meant to be. Because everything about your body has this weight of sin and decay. But in the resurrection, we're going to have a new body that's meant for a new heaven and a new earth. Where we're going to live forever, but we're going to live forever where each day gets better instead of worse. We're going to have access to the tree of life. We're going to eat the leaves for the healing of the nations. So it's only through the resurrection that we get both. You see our future hope? You see how good it's looking? It's not just, hey, I play a harp. It's, man, I get a body like this, but 1,000 times better how it was supposed to be, and I get to live in the presence of God forever, doing the thing I was meant to do, ruling over everything, telling the animals what to do, telling the fish what to do, telling all of creation what to do under God's good rule. And doing things, creating things, building things. Building the kingdom of God on earth in a perfect world that lasts forever, where every day is your best day. But can you imagine that? Like, I hope you're seeing, like, wow, that's cool. Well, the resurrection, that's pretty awesome. So I want us to look now at three things that the resurrection specifically does when it comes to the earth, when it comes to you, and when it comes to the nations. So the first thing we're going to see is healing of creation. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is actually for the healing of the earth. If you have your Bibles, go to Romans chapter 8. We're going to be there for just a second. I know you usually don't have to flip around, but just Romans chapter 8 for a few seconds. It'll be quick and brief. Romans chapter 8. Here's what we kind of think. In the end, we go to heaven and the earth blows up more with God. Nothing matters. Have you guys kind of thought that before tonight? The earth just done away with. Now we're in heaven on clouds. Everything's good. It's not what the Bible teaches. No, the Bible teaches the earth is going to be refashioned the way it should have been in the beginning. The way it was is God's good creation, but now void of sin in the end. Here's what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 19. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. What's that talking about? What's this have to do with the earth and groaning? Like, what's going on? You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is bigger than just your personal salvation. The resurrection of Jesus Christ affects the whole cosmos. Because the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the whole universe was waiting for this moment. Because here's what happened. When we sinned, guess what was affected? Planet Earth. Planet Earth was affected. Did you know that? Like here, Adam, he could work and everything was great. Plants showed up. Food was abundant. All he had to do was pick it and tend to it. He didn't have to work very hard. He just kind of managed it. He worked with joy. Everything was great. But when he sinned, you know what God said? There's now a curse on the planet. And now there's going to be thorns and thistles. And you're going to have to work. And you're going to have to labor. And now we see the effects of that where people around the world are starving to death because there's not enough food. Because it doesn't just grow anymore. We have to work for it. And now we see greed where some of us hoard it and some of us don't have it. And we have this whole effect of the earth. And we see things like tsunamis that kill hundreds of thousands of people. We see things like earthquakes. And we see things like tornadoes where the earth is literally in a revolt. It's screaming, there's something wrong with the cosmos. And what's wrong with it is it's under the curse of sin. And it's under a curse, and it's waiting for the day when Jesus comes back and all of us burst from the tomb and it burst from its tomb and all of sin is gone and it is just like it was in the beginning. Paradise. No more sin. No more raging against man, but now subdued under the authority of man. Can you imagine living in a world where you have authority over all of creation? Like you can tell water where it should go. You can tell animals where they are to go. Can you imagine? That's what God gave us in the beginning. But we lost it because we rebelled. But now, in the new creation, in the resurrection, when our bodies burst forth from the grave and Jesus comes back and the resurrection takes place, the earth will be like it was in the beginning. This perfect place that doesn't revolt against us, but that obeys us. Remember Jesus when the storm came up? What did he do? Stop. That's what we were meant to do. That's what Adam was supposed to do. To have authority over creation. But he gave it away through sin. But guess what? Jesus, through the resurrection, he reverses the curse. And we have this new birth of the earth, this resurrection from the earth, where it groans and now it's set free from its bondage and decay to be the place for us to live forever with God, just like it was supposed to be in the beginning. Next, the second thing we see is the healing of our bodies. As we keep reading in Romans chapter 8, here's what it says. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption of sons, the redemption of our what? Bodies. Did you hear that? The redemption of not your soul, not your spirit, not you floating around somewhere. The redemption of your body. See, one of the things that the resurrection of Jesus Christ did when he rose from the grave in a body, he was the first fruit of what was to come. So all of those who have faith in him, guess what? We, like him, will, when he comes back, get a body like his. A body that has continuity with the old body, It's a flesh body. It's a body like it was, but it's also a body like it wasn't. A body that was animated by our soul, now animated by the very Spirit of God. A body that is now unsusceptible to disease and sin and all of those things, all the ailments that plague us. It's completely broken free of that. A body that is perfect like Jesus' body was. A body like we were supposed to have in the beginning, that could never die, that could live forever in the fullness of humanity. And you know what we do with those bodies? We don't just play harps. Man, we do all kinds of stuff. We build the kingdom of God just like Adam was supposed to build the kingdom of God. We take the garden and we expand it all throughout the earth. And we do things in the new heavens and the new earth. And we work and we labor and we build and we create and we do it all for God's glory in God's presence. So the resurrection, it heals the earth, our new dwelling place where heaven comes to the earth. We have this new earth that is perfect just like it once was. And now we have a perfect body that's meant to live forever in this perfect place where we live the greatest human existence in the new heavens and the new earth. This is what our future is. This is why you take up your cross and turn and follow him, because this is what's coming. It's not just some lame existence. It's existence. It's how it was supposed to be all along, but we've lost that, and we only see dimly of what life's really about. But in the resurrection, we're going to see what life is truly with King Jesus, living with him forever. So we see that the earth gets healing because of the resurrection of Christ. We see our bodies get healing from the resurrection of Christ. And lastly, I want to see that the nations gets healing from the resurrection of Christ. What is the tree? It's for the healing of what? The nations. Now, I want you to think about this. From a Jewish perspective, who are the nations? Everyone else. They were the others. They were the bad guys. They were the enemies. I mean, you got to think about it. When the disciples heard the commission, go to the nations, they're hearing, go to your enemies. Go to those people who you don't like very much, who you think are not my people, go to them. And what's amazing is we see in the new kingdom, every tribe, every people group represented in the new kingdom, worshiping the Lamb of God forever. So not only is the creation healed, not only are we healed, but all of our relationships as people are completely healed. So we will fellowship perfectly with one another with no more hatred, no more animosity, no more getting angry. We are perfectly fellowshipping with one another because we're healed nations. I mean, just think about even now. Some of the barriers between nations. I mean, think about your own thoughts towards the other nations. I mean, we're Americans, right? And we kind of think, proud to be an American, right? America, right? It's like, yeah, we got our flag, you know, it's us. Everybody else, doesn't matter. Egypt, who cares? Iran, who cares about those people? I mean, really? I mean, all the other people around the world, I mean, Israel, who really cares about Israel? Who really cares about these other places? People in Africa, they don't affect me. I even see some different countries as the enemy. Even though I don't know a single person in that country, in my mind, they're the enemy. Because I've just heard things about them. I've heard certain people in their country act a certain way. So I assume the whole nation is just wicked. They're the enemy. You see, even in our own minds, we become ethnocentric. We're the only people that are good. We're the only people who kind of deserve this thing. In the nations, who cares? And see, what this tells us is we need to repent of that. Because what this says is there is no room for racism when it comes to the kingdom of God. There's no room for looking at other nations and other people and thinking, you know, I don't have to like them. I don't have to love them. Because you know what the future is going to? All nations, all people, all together worshiping the Lamb. That's your future. Where there is no divide, where it's one nation against one nation, but it's all nations for the King. That's a cool existence. Amen? I mean, just think about that. Where there's healing not just for the earth, not just for our bodies, but every single relationship among the nations is completely healed because we're all worshiping the one true God. We're all worshiping the Lamb. So just a closing thought. What does all this mean for today? I mean, okay, we have this resurrection that's going to take place, that I'm not just going to be in heaven somewhere, but heaven's actually going to come down here to planet Earth, and the earth is going to be remade, and then now I'm going to live with him forever, and I'm going to have this new body, this new earth, this new existence among all the nations. This is really good stuff, but it's all in the future. What does it matter now? You know what's amazing? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the passage about the resurrection, the whole chapter is dedicated to the resurrection. You know what he says in the last verse? He says, so here's the deal. Therefore, you be unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord, because your work is not in vain. What's he saying? Why would he say, at the end of the resurrection, why would he say, so work hard, because your work's not in vain? You know what it means for us? That because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, right now matters. Did you know that? Like, right now matters. What you do on planet Earth right now matters for eternity, because eternity is going to be here in a recreated world. So what you do, some of us have the perspective of, it just doesn't matter, it's all going to burn up, I'm going to go to be with God, and it's all going to be great. No, it matters. Right now matters. What you do with your body right now matters. What you do on planet Earth right now matters, because this place is going to be the dwelling place of God. That's why Jesus said in the prayer, what did he say? Not, hey, he prayed to his Father and said, we want this earth to have the same will as you have in heaven. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's he saying? We want heaven to come to earth like it's going to be in the end. So he's telling us, hey, get to work, labor for the kingdom, labor for the gospel, because all of it matters. Everything you do right now matters for eternity, because there is a resurrection. And this world is going to have a whole new resurrection, and your body is going to have a whole resurrection. So what you do in it today matters, and what you do through it today matters. So here's my hope. That what you've seen tonight is, wow, the end is going to be a lot cooler than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was just, I was kind of going to be a spirit floating around somewhere playing a harp. You might play a harp, but it'll be a whole lot cooler than that scene that you have in your mind. Because in the end, heaven comes down to us. The dwelling place of God is with man. The city of God comes to the earth. And the earth is remade, and you are remade. We have a new body, just like Jesus' body. And you live that life you want, the forever life, but the life that never peaks out. You never decay, you never get old, and everything you do matters for eternity. That's what life is. That's what the resurrection life is. And what it says to us is, right now really does matter. Let us pray. Father, I thank you so much that right now matters for eternity. God, I thank you that Jesus Christ rose from the dead as the first fruits of our own resurrection. That just as he got a new body, we get a new body. And just as he reverses the curse, we get to live in a place that is completely free of the curse. We get to live in the kingdom forever, doing kingdom work, living out our days, not in boredom, but in the most exciting existence we could ever imagine, because we live in the existence that you had from the very beginning. God, I pray that we live in light of eternity, and that we know that what we do right now, what we do tomorrow, what we do this next year, all of our labor is not in vain, because somehow all of that labor and all of that work, it builds your kingdom on this earth, and your kingdom that is going to come. We thank you and we praise you. In the good name of Jesus, amen. All God's people said, amen.